Okay, Rabbi, today's daf is daf Tes Zayin, and we are holding right before the wide lines. You'll see two lines before the wide lines. The Gemara says, Hachi Nami Mistavra, to the Blazer Ben Yaakovi. The Gemara told us yesterday that the Mishnayis and Mesechtis Midois are a Blazer Ben Yaakov. Somebody, there's a background noise, kindly put yourselves on mute. So what our Gemara is telling us is, we had a stira yesterday between the Mishnayis and Mesechtis Tomid and the Mishnayis and Mesechtis Midois. To be able to end for this stira, to answer the kasha, the Gemara said, it's an ishka kasha, because Mesechtis Midois, that's Reb Lezer Ben Yaakov. And the Gemara brought a raya that it's Reb Lezer Ben Yaakov, and that's how we finished off yesterday's Gemara, that Hachinami Mestavra, I'll bring you another raya, that the Mishnayis and Mesechtis Midois is Reb Lezer Ben Yaakov. Titnan, we learned in the Mishnah. Kol Hak Solem, we're about to start the wide lines down below on Tes Zayin Amud Aleph. Kol Hak Solem, Shahoyu Sham, Hoyu Givoyin, all the walls of the Beis Hamikdash were tall. Chutz Mikoyso Mizrachi, Shakoyin Hasoyrif Esapora, Oymid Bahara Mishcha, Umechavin Veroya Keneged Pischoy Shel Heichu, Vishas Hazroas Hadam. What is this all about? When we get to Parshas Chukas, we will lay in the Psukim that when the Kohen did the Sreifas HaPara, the Paraduma, now before he got to the Sreif, after he did the Shechita of the Paraduma, he went and took Dam and he spritzed it in the direction of the Beis HaMikdash. The Paraduma was brought not as a korban in the Beis HaMikdash, but rather it was shechted outside the Beis HaMikdash on what Torah called Har HaMishcha, what we call today Har HaZeisim. And therefore, you're standing on Har HaZeisim and doing the Shechitas HaKorban, not Shechitas HaKorban, the Shechitas HaParaduma, and now we have blood. So the Pasuk says, V'hizo el noichach p'nei oil moyed. The person who has been busy with the Paraduma goes and spritzes now in the direction of the Beis HaMikdash. Now by the fact that it says Pnei Oyel Moed is called in Beis HaMikdash terms, it's called the Heichal. We want to be able to have the person who's doing the Hazor Sadam actually see into the Pnei Oyel Moed. Now, we're assuming that the person who's standing in the Har Mishcha is standing on level land, the same level as the floor of the Beis HaMikdash. If the Beis HaMikdash was itself built on level land, this would be easy, because all of the doors into the Beis HaMikdash, starting from the door that leads from the Chayil into the Ezras Noshim, and from the Ezras Noshim into the Ezras Yisrael, and from the Ezras Yisrael into the Ulam, and from the Ulam into the Heichel, they were all corresponding, parallel, parallel to each other. Yes, there were, of course, many other things going on at the Beis HaMikdash, but all of those doorways were parallel to one another. That being the case, had the Beis HaMikdash been just on level ground, you're standing in front of the Beis HaMikdash in the Heichel, all the doors are open, you can go and see straight through all the way to the Heichel. However, there's a problem. And the problem is that the Beis HaMikdash was not on level ground, but instead was going up higher and higher, because, as you know, the Beis HaMikdash was built on the Har HaBayis. Har, by definition, means a mountain. So think of building a house into the side of a mountain. The bottom of the house will be lower down. The upper part of the house will be higher up. And so was the case with the Beis HaMikdash, that when you came into the Beis HaMikdash, you couldn't get to the Heichel just by walking straight ahead. There would be steps. And as we'll see in the Gemara shortly, that there were steps leading from the Chayil into the Ezras Noshim. And then when you finished the Ezras Noshim, getting to Ezras Yisrael, you had more steps. And when you went from the Ezras Yisrael into the Ulam, you had more steps. And therefore you kept on getting higher and higher and higher. Good. As a result, if you're standing there directly in front of the door, it's not that easy to see into the Heichel, because your view is going to get obstructed by the fact that there are going to be many steps and you'll have to look higher and higher and higher to hopefully be able to see into the doorway of the Heichel.
It's a pretty picture.
Yeah, exactly. We're going to talk about the pictures in a moment. We're not there yet. Thank you for bringing that to our attention. So what does the Mishnah say now in Mesechtes Midos? I have an excellent idea. If you cannot see straight through the doors because of the fact it gets higher and higher, look over the first doorway, because the first doorway, which was the Koisel Mizrahi, as the Mishnah refers to it, that was a lower door. Not that the hollow of the door was any different than all the others. All of the doors, as we'll see in a moment, were the shear of 20 by 10. And so therefore, talking about from the ground all the way up, 20 amas, that's 40 feet. That's very, very tall. We learned from that the Gabi Hilchis Movli, the Gabi Hilchis Sukkah, how tall the Schach may be, the Sukkah may be. Anyway, so this is very, very high up. However, the question is, above the doorway, how much Mashkof was there? In other words, where the doorway ended. Now to the ceiling, or to the roof, how much further did it go? All the other doorways in the Beis HaMikdash had very, very tall walls that went another 20, 30, 50 amos higher than the end of the doorway. With the exception of the first doorway, the Koisel Mizrahi, when you're entering into the Ezra Snoshim from the Chayil, there it was a low-lying wall. The benefit of that is, so that if the Kohen who is doing the Hazor Sadam from across the street, not really across the street, but from the Mahara Mishcha, and he's doing the Hazor Sadam, if he couldn't see the Heichel by looking through the doorway, he could see it by looking over the doorway. And that's what our Mishnah discusses. So again, now, Kolak Solom Shoyusham, all of the walls which were in the Beis HaMikdash were tall. Hayu Gvayim. Chutz, except for Koisel Mizrahi, the very first Koisel, the first wall, through which one enters into the Beis HaMikdash, that wall, Shehakoyin Asarif Esapora Oimid Bahara Mishcha, the Koyin who's across on the Hara Mishcha, looking in the direction of the Heichel, looking in the direction of the Beis HaMikdash, he would be able to Mechabin Veroye Keneget Pischei Shol Heichel B'Shas Azor Sadam. How? By looking over the wall and not by looking through the doorways. Now, why couldn't he see the Heichel just by looking through the doorways? Utanan. And the Gemara brings now a series of Mishnayos from the Sechtes Midas, and therefore you'll see the Gemara repeats the word Tanan, Tanan, Tanan a few times, because this is not just one Mishnah, but rather it's a conglomeration of several Mishnayos, and we're going to proceed from the beginning of the Beis HaMikdash towards the end of the Beis HaMikdash, and we're going to go in order from the Chayil into the into the Ezus Noshim, into the Ezus Yisrael, into the Ulam and Heichel, etc. Now, we learned in the Mishnah. Kol ha-psochem shoyushon, goivon esrim ama, v'roichvon esrim amas. All of the psochem in the Beis HaMikdash were 20 by 20, 10. 20 high and 10 in the width. Utanan, we have another Mishnah. Lefnim mimenu soireg. What means lefnim mimenu? You're coming onto the Harabayas, and as you arrive on the Harabayas, you see in front of you something called a soreg. Soreg is a fence which is made out of in a lattice work fashion. Meaning, we're not talking about a wall, we're talking about a relatively short fence, somewhat similar to the metal fences that you might find around the bungalow colony out in the country. But this was not made out of metal, but rather this was made out of lattice work. In fact, Rashi even uses the French term for lattice. If you look, Rashi, the third wide line down below, Lefnim mimenu soireg. You have that many? Lefnim mimenu soireg. Hayisham lefnim mikoisel mizrahi. V'machitza ho'asuya nikovim nikovim. It is a machitza, a fence, that has in it holds and holds. Kisuruge mita shel chavolim. Just like in the good old days, how were beds made? They had the mattress lying or the straw lying on a bunch of ropes that crisscrossed each other from the bedposts. You had the four bedposts or a frame of the bed, and down below you had chavolim, you had ropes going from one side to the other, and they went in a crisscross fashion. For oisin, oisa. And how do you manufacture this soreg? They use pieces of wood, long ones and short ones, shekoinen lattice. You put them one over the other in such a crisscross fashion. The Kohen Oisin Balaz Frudni. And in Balaz, a Sorig, or at least this lattice work was called Frudni. Anyway, the point is that when you are in the Har HaBayis, the first thing that you come across when you're approaching the base of English is this low-lying Sorig, this low-lying fence made out of lattice work, and that was your introduction to the base of English.
You said there was a Kosel, though, before that?
Mm-hmm. It's Lefnim Mikosel Mizrachi. Lefnim means before you get to the Kosel Mizrachi. Kosel Mizrachi, Mitzvah, we're going to get to shortly. That's going to be the opening from the Chayil into the Ezra's Noshim, as we'll see in another moment.
All this is considered Machna Levia?
That is considered Machna Levia. And Lefnim Mimenu, beyond that is Soreg. Utanan, Lefnim Mimenu HaChayil. After you get through this low-lying lattice-work fence, you now enter into the chayil, and the width of the chayil, meaning the depth of the chayil from where you originally arrived into the chayil from the Soreg, and now you're approaching the Beis HaMikdash, you have 10 amas to walk, and now that you've gone those 10 amas, from here you want to go into the Ezra's Noshim. But you can't just walk into the Ezra's Noshim, because Ushteim Esrim Malois Hoyusham, there were 12 steps. Roim Mala Chatzi Amma, Vishilcha Chatzi Amma. The height of each one of the steps was a half an Amma, and Shulcha means the depth, means the length where you would put your foot down. You want to walk on the step, you don't want the step to just be 3 inches, it has to have a Shulcha, it means it has to have space of half an Amma to be able to walk on that step. And therefore, we have now, from where you are standing down below, now to the next level, is 12 times a half an amma. Ed, you're very good in arithmetic. How much is 12 times a half an amma? 6 ammas. So therefore, down below, your friends are still waiting online. Not online, the computer online, but they're online to go into Beis HaMikdash. They're still standing below in the chayil. And you are already above those steps. You are 6 ammas above them. For those of you that want, that love to see pictures, I brought along a blue article tomorrow, but I think the pictures are the same from the red article tomorrow. And they have nice pictures over here. You start over here, you're entering into, this is the Soreg, small little Shmitchik over here. Then after that you go further, and you're now entering to the Pesach. Pesach from the Chayil into the Ezra's Noshim, and you are now, this is 6 Amos higher. Why 6 Amos higher? Because you have the 12 steps over here. Now this picture, maybe it's premature to see this picture, but we have another more beautiful picture at the beginning. So let's go to that picture now. And let's see that. That shows. Yeah, you have the same, but this is a little bit larger.
Yeah, yours is also your binding shirt.
Yeah, but don't take it personally. Okay. So we start. Oh, many want to come to the side. Oh, you have another mark. Shee.
Oh, your aerial view.
Over side view.
Isn't this nice and pretty? For those of you listening on the tape, we're looking at the beautiful art scroll diagram at the beginning of Masechtas Yuma. So you're now entering into the Beis HaMikdash area. Now you're number one. One is the Har HaBayis. Then number two is the Soreg. Number three is the Ten Amnis of the Chayil, between the Soreg and the first steps. First steps is number four. Those four, those steps are Shtein Esrei Malos, 12 steps, which get you up higher and higher. Do you see that, Brother Shai? Do you see that, Brother Daniel?
Thank you.
Brother Barry, Mindy. Okay, beautiful. So now when you get through five is that doorway that leads now into this large Ezra's Noshim. And you now walk levelly until...
So there's no problem walking through the women's courtyard. Sinuot, etc. There's no issue.
It was called Ezra's Noshim, but to my knowledge, the Noshim were only gathered there once a year. Right. That was on Simchas Torah, and then they had special machitza upstairs and downstairs. A whole
That's why they built those balconies above, right?
That's correct. But the point is, throughout the year, I don't think there were any women congregated here. And if women did want to bring kabbanis, they came into one of these shahr. One of these shahrim was called the Shahr HaKinan. That's when they would bring their kabbalas. So I think the Ezra's Noshim is a little, the language, the name may be slightly a misnomer. Okay, anyway, so they're going through the Ezer Noshim, and then when they finish the Ezer Noshim, they're about to enter Eretz Yisrael. Number 14 is going to be brand new steps. But here we're not going to have 12 steps, we're going to have 15 steps. Right? You agree? 15 steps.
Yeah.
And each one of those steps, again, is going to be a half an amma tall. Then we go into Eretz Yisrael, and we're going to hit the Mizbeach, and then we get into the Ulam, and again, we're going to have another 12 steps. The reason why Barry points out the 15 steps of Shir HaMalot, because there are 15 Shir HaMalot in Tehillim, connected those 15 steps. Anyway, so just continuing on, that's why it's called the Shir, the Song of the Malot, of the steps. So it's a big step for mankind, and we continue.
For those.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. Especially for the one before benching. So now again, we're on the third wide line, Utanan Lefnim Mimenu Soreg. Utanan Lefnim Mimenu, beyond the Soreg was the Chayel. That was Esther Amid. Ushtayim Esri Malo Soyisham, and there were 12 steps there. Roim Mala Chatzi Amma, the Shulcha Chatzi Amma. The height of the steps is now 12 times a half, is 6 Amas tall. And then you continue walking the entire Ezer's Noshim. And now I want to go from the Ezer's Noshim to the Ezer's Yisrael. So Tes Vav Malis Hoylis Mitoicha. Now yet another 15 steps. Hayordos Me Ezer's Yisrael, the Ezer's Noshim. The Loshen of the Gemara is a little out of order because this Mishnah is really not going Yordos from Ezer's Yisrael to Ezer's Noshim. We're going Olos from Ezer's Noshim to Ezer's Yisrael. So the Pavoshim point out that this second part is really borrowed from another Mishnah, and that's why it's a little bit backwards. But really, we're not talking about Yordas leaving the Ezer Yisrael to Ezer Noshim, we're talking about Oilas leaving the Ezer Noshim to go up to the Ezer Yisrael. And once again, these 15 Malos, Roy Mala Chatzi Amma, Beshulcha Chatzi Amma, each one of these steps was a half an Amma tall. That being the case, since there were 15, 15 times a half gets you to roughly 7.5. Now we started off before 6 Amas, right? We had the 12 steps, half an Amma each, so that was 6 Amas tall. We're now adding to that, piggybacking on that, another 7.5 Amas. So we just started off in the Chayel. Could you? Okay.
What actually is the Chayel?
David has a question.
Sure above the steps?
I'm sorry?
The Chayel is that empty space above the steps? Is that what it is?
The Chayel was the border where a non-Jew couldn't pass. It's a
So I was looking at it. I'm trying to figure out what
it is. It's a space.
It's empty space. It looks just like
it's
air.
Empty space. You walked over there. Go to your picture.
That
Keep a tissue or keep a bookmark there. No, exactly. It's earlier. It's earlier.
It's over here.
Over here.
I got it.
Oh,
okay. So you're starting over here. You're starting over here. You're in number one. You've now entered the Har HaBayis. Two is the Soreg. Three is the empty space of 10 Amas. That's the Chayel. The Chayel is not a vertical. It's a horizontal. If this was Chayel, you'd be able to walk from here until that door. You have 10 Amas.
Empty space.
Empty space. Okay? Typically probably full of people.
This thing has a name.
Yes, that's the name. So now we have arrived, Baruch Hashem, the Ezer Yisrael. Ezer Yisrael is what is commonly known as the Big Azara, where you have the large Mizbeach. Anyway, inside that Azara...
Ezer Yisrael is the 11 hours before the Mizbeach.
If you do me a favor.
Yeah.
It's complicated enough.
Yeah.
Okay, so you have the 6 Amis as you enter into the Ezer Noshim. We are now entering into the Ezer Yisrael, which is 15 Malos higher than the Ezer Noshim, which is 7.5. 6 plus 7.5 gets us into 13.5. 6 and 7.5 is 13.5. So now when I've arrived in the Ezer Yisrael, the beginning of the Azara, that is 13.5 Amis higher than when I started off initially when I reached the Har HaBayis. Good. From there, Tesla Malva Ulit Mitoicha, Yordis Vesiso, Rahim Allah Hatsiyam, Shoch Amma, Hatsiyam. Good. Utana, Veno Ulam Vulam is Beach, Chof Beis Amma, Ushtain Esri Malas Hoyusham, Rahim Malah Hatsiyam, Vishulcha Hatsiyam. We are now doing a very quick dash through the entire Azara, meaning we're not getting stuck talking about Ezra's Yisrael and Ezra's Kehanan and the Mizbeach. All our focus is to try to figure out the height of the Heichal. And therefore what we're saying is, you've now gone beyond the Mizbeach in the Azara, and from the Mizbeach to the ulam was a space of 22 amas. Now you want to enter into the ulam, you can't just open the door, I'm here. You have to walk up again another 12 steps. Since those 12 steps are again the same type of height, so now we have to add yet another 6 amas. The ulam and the heichal were on the same level. So, since we started off with the 6 amas at the from the Chayil into the Ezes Noshim, we added another 7.5 amas from the Ezes Noshim into the Ezes Yisrael, into the Azara. We added now yet another 6 amas from the Azara into the Ulam. If we add 6 plus 7.5 is 13.5. If we have 13.5 plus another 6 is 19.5. And therefore, if you're standing again on the Har Habayis, on the Chayil, you're looking in, you should be able to see the beginning, the bottom of the opening, the bottom, the doorway into the ulam and the heichal. Why? Because since all of the openings is 20 amos, right?
Right.
And all you've gone up in terms of steps is 19 and a half. So you can't go and see the 19 and a half because that your view would be obstructed by all of the steps. I'm standing many, many amos away in the heichal, looking directly ahead. I see a bunch of steps and then a higher bunch of steps. But I can see a sliver, a small sliver of a half an amma of the heichal doorway, because the whole doorway is 20. I subtract 19 and a half, so I still have a half an amma to be able to see in and peek in as to what's going on inside the heichal. And therefore, the person who is standing on the Har HaMishkan, who is standing level with the Har HaBayis, if he just picked his eyes up, oh yeah, I see it. Put on his binoculars or his telescope, I can see that half an am. And if he does the hazuas atam, hazuas hadam, el noichach pnei oyel moed, that would be wonderful. But I got a problem. What's the problem? Utnan reblezman Yaakov oimer, ma lohoisisham ugvoya ama. Oh, we have to add one more amma to the 19.5 amos because there was a mala. Now, where was the mala hoisisham? That was between the Ezras Yisrael and the Ezras Kehan. Where was the Ezras Yisrael and the Ezras Kehan? So, this is what Barry was pointing at already before. When you initially leave the Ezras Noshim and you enter into the Ezras or into the large Azara, you have initially Ezra's, yeah, this is the 14, these are the 15 steps for the Ezra's Noshim, leading into the Ezra's Yisra.
And what is number 15?
15 is the Shar Nicanor. That's the famous Shar that was purchased by someone in Alexandria, and he wanted to bring it back to Eretz Yisrael. The were major tidal waves. The sailors took one of the doors, threw it over on the into the water. They wanted to throw out the second one. And Nicanor jumped on that second door and said, if you want to throw out the door, you got to throw me together with it into the water. So they stopped, and Baruch Hashem, the tidal wave stopped, and the boat or the ship went further to Akoy or wherever the port was in Eretz Yisrael. And as they're getting off the port with that singular door, Nisim v'Nefloyes, miracle of miracles, they find that that second door that had been thrown overboard 25 miles earlier was there, bobbing along together with the boat. So they took that second one and they put it up, and that became known as the Shar Nicanor, and that had many purposes. It wasn't just simply a door. For instance, the Metzairo would have to stand there and put in his fingers, his behind us, and his ear to put on the dam. Okay, anyway, so we're now going through the Shar Nicanor. We're now into 19. 19, you should go back to, yeah, exactly. 19 is the Shar, is now the Ezra Yisrael. The width of the Ezras Yisrael was 11 amas. When I say the width, meaning when you enter through the Shar Nicanor, from east to west, there were 11 amas altogether. After that, you got to number 20. When 20 is in the middle of your binding, it's hard to see. You see this 19? And 20 is inside the binding. The 20, that's the Ezras Kehanim. That's Ezras Kehanim, meaning that the Kehanim were able to stand there another 11 Amos. So 11 Amos in the Ezras Yisrael, 11 Amos in the Ezras Kehanim. After you finish Ezras Kehanim, boom, you're right next to the Mizbeach. Okay? Now, just we're going to go over this in Mitzvah and the Amud Beis, but since we're talking about it, the Azara was very, very nicely structured proportionally, in the sense that from the time that you entered through the Shar Nicanor till the Mizbeach, there were exactly 22 amas. The mizbeach itself was 32 amas. When you finish going to the mizbeach and now you're going towards the ulam, another time 22 amas. So you had 22 amas. If you're looking at the mizbeach, 22 amas to your right, 22 amas to your left. The first of the two 22 amas was subdivided between Ezes Yisrael, which was 11 amas, and the second 11 amas was the Ezes Kehan.
So what 22
you're talking about? Okay. Let me show you this picture, because there a lot of it gets cut out.
Yeah.
You're entering into this is the Azorah. From here, actually, the real, real big Azorah is from here. All of this is all the Azorah. The Azorah is split up into, subdivided into different categories. This 19 is the Ezes Yisrael.
Mm-hmm.
See, it says Ezra Yisrael. Mm-hmm. Got that?
Mm-hmm.
Number 20 is the Ezes Kehan. Mm-hmm. 20 and 21. This whole area here is Ezes Kehan. Here's the Mizbeach. So if you add 11 plus 11, gets you 22. From here, from the Mizbeach until the Ulam and Heichel, this is also 22. Therefore, it was nicely in the middle,
here,
22 here, and 22 there. Good? So far, so good.
The body.
Yeah. Now, notice over here, you have this number 20. That number 20 is Mala Achas. Mala Achas means that there was one step that led from the Ezra's Yisrael to the Ezra's Kehan. Does everybody agree that there was that one step? And the answer is a resounding no. The only one that holds that there was a step there was Reb Lezer ben Yaakov. So when the art school comes out with the next edition, there will be two diagrams. One with the step, one with the step, which is Reb Lezer ben Yaakov, like you have over here, Mala Achas, and there will be another one according to Rabbanan that they did not have that step there.
That would be more corresponding to this line.
And then we're going
to
look at your picture in a moment. So what difference does it make if you had one more step, if you didn't have one more step? It's very simple. Because until now, from the beginning of the Beis Hamikdash, until the Heichel, we only had to worry about obstruction of vision of 19 and a half amas. But according to the Blaz ben Yaakov, if there's one additional mala that was one amma tall, then I have to add another amma. And now it's 20 and a half amas. Would I be able to see into the Heichel? And the answer is a resounding no. So how would I be able to see into the Heichel? By looking over the first wall. But the first wall was so tall. And the answer is no, it wasn't tall. Cholak salam shah yisham ho yigvayin, chutz mi koysel mizrachi. And so therefore the Kohen who's standing there in the Haran Mishka says, I hold like Reb Lezer ben Yaakov, I know there must be a mala there, I won't be able to see through the doorway, forget about it. I'm going to look over the first doorway, and then continue with my vision, looking through the other doorways until I see the Heichel on top. By the fact that first Mishnah starts off, that all the Kesalim were tall, except for the first that was a shorty, so that the Seir of Hisabara could see through, is the chassim that Stam Mishnah goes like Reb Lezer ben Yaakov. Because if you hold like the Rabbanan, you don't need to make a shorty wall, you don't need to look over the wall, you can go and look straight through all of the doorways to see that bottom amma of the Heichel. So that's what it says with Tanan Reb Lezer ben Yaakov. That mala was, mala means the step, this was not a half an amma like the others, this was a full step. What was the purpose? Not only did it act as, if you will, a machitza between the Ezras Yisrael and the Ezras Kehanim, it was really a machitza, but the point is not only to distinguish the two levels, but it was also duchan nosan oleha. On top of that mala there was a duchan. Duchan means a platform. Uboi sholish mala shel chatzi chatzi ama. To get on top of this duchan you had further steps to walk up. What was the purpose of that duchan? That's where the Levium used to go and stand. And what did the Levium do when they stood over there? They would go and play on the shirois and zmirois and shbochois. They would sing and they would play on the musical instruments.
Where was this happening?
This is in on number 20.
Yeah, but that's only one amma high.
One amma high. But on that one amma high, they had a duchan, and that was
on top of that.
Exactly.
On top also, of it didn't obstruct because it was just part of what didn't.
Presumably, it didn't take up the entire
window.
It was only to the right, to the left, whatever.
Okay.
So that wasn't. There was
wasn't
no
that center, wasn't it?
Rabbeinu Hananel, by the way, this is the way Rashi is learning, that it was only one more amma, and therefore you had 20 and a half. Rabbeinu Hananel says you do add, in fact, another two and a half ammas. That you have the duchen, which is one, and then another one and a half on top of that, it's two and a half, yeah, two and a half to the 19 and a half, and now you got 22, and that certainly obstructs it, and that's why you had to look over it, etc. Anyway,
that's where the expression came, look it over.
Look it over. Oh, now you know.
Excuse me, we had a big machlokas, I think, in Maseches Zvachim about the location of Mizbeach. And Mizbeach, according to this...
You have a little patience. We're going to discuss this at great length. Okay. Unfortunately, we're never going to get here. But in the Yetzer Shem, we will get there. So, Iyam is Bishloimer of Lezim in Yaakov. If you're going to go and tell me that our Mishnah, or these Mishnahs and Midois are Lezim in Yaakov, Hayna de Ichsi Lei Pischa. That's the reason why we're saying that you won't be able to see the Pesach of the Heichel if you look just directly through the doorways, because it's 20 and a half. According to Be'echanan, it's 22. Eli Amris Rabbanan, if you're going to go and say that these Mishnahs go to Rabbanan, who disagree with Rabbezim and Yaakov, and they don't hold of this extra mala with the Duchan. You can easily see, I know easily, but you can go and see the bottom half an amma of the Heichel just by looking straight across. The person, the Haran Mishka, taking his binoculars, would look through the first doorway, the second doorway, third doorway. Oh, now I see the Ulam and the Heichel, and I see perfectly that bottom one half an amma, which is the top half an amma of the bottom doorway. Because each time you keep on adding 6 and then 7 and a half and another 6, 19 and a half, oh, but it's 20 amas, so I can see, I can peek and see the place of the Heichel on top. The fact that the first mission that we quoted said, no, you're not going to be able to see through the passageways. You have to look over the wall. So we have yet another raya that the Stam Mishnayis in Masechtas Midos is Reb Lezer ben Yaakov. And that's the Ganze Shtikli Gemar. Now, we had the pictures before, and I promise we will show you again. So we're going to go back to those. And they're very, very nice, especially if you're able to see them clearly from where you're sitting. Start off with, but you have the same pictures there, right? You even have two pictures. I only have one picture. One picture is a blazing Yaakov picture, and the other is the rabbi's picture. Okay. So you start off with the first Kaiso, then you continue on to the Ezra's Noshim, you continue to the Azara, and you continue to the Ulam. Notice there happen to be two lines over here. One line is a dotted line, the other line is a, what do they call it? Dashes. Okay, line of dashes. Fine. So, notice underneath, how do they say it in English? The dotted line depicts the line of sight over the eastern wall, while the broken line depicts the line of sight through the eastern gateway, or whatever. So you have now these two lines. The bottom line, which is when you're looking through the doorway. You're looking through the doorway. That's first doorway.
Okay, so you're looking through the...
You and I are standing over here, and we're looking straight across. Okay, we're looking
straight across.
Exactly. All the doors are open. That's why it's white, to show the doors open, so you can look in. The black on top of it is the rest of the wall.
Gotcha.
That first wall was a shorty, so now we have a little bit of wall on top of it. Now what, 2 ounces? This had another 10, 20, 30 ounces. This whole set a lot on top, okay? So, we're looking through the first. If you're looking with the jagged line, which it means you're looking through the doorway itself, so you're looking through the first door, and the second door, and the third, and each time there's more obstruction, because there's 6 on this, and now there's 13 and a half, is much less to see now. Right? This is according to Blazman Yaakov. Originally, when you started out over here, you could see most of the door, and now it's 6 on this blocks, obstructs it. And now 13 and a half, it obstructs it even more.
But 19 and a half, then you're like, but you're still stuck.
Oh, and now you're stuck. Because since you have that extra amma here in between, from the 13 and a half, it becomes 14 and a half, because we're adding one more amma. And then we're adding another 6, is 20 and a half.
There's no overlap.
And therefore, your sight, if you're looking through the doorway, you get stuck at the top of these 20 and a half amas. I can't see into the doorway. But if I'm looking above the, with the dotted line, which means I'm looking above the first doorway.
The top of the short wall.
And then, and because it's a shorty, I can. So I look straight ahead, and then I'm able to see.
But where are you standing so that you can see over the first wall?
It goes down and then up on a ramp.
Standing over here.
So you're high enough, okay.
Right. You're on the same level. So you can just look in, and if your vision is not so good, use binoculars, and you'll be able to look in. Here you wouldn't be able to see because you get stuck. You go on top of it.
See the bottom. You see below the opening of the door to the Heichal.
But this is according to Bled Ben Yaakov. If you're looking according to the rabbis, they don't have that 14 and a half.
It
goes 13 and a half to 19 and a half. And therefore, you can just look. You don't need two jagged lines or two of that. You just have one line. And you can just make it. You see the bottom part of the.
Who's right?
Who's right? It's a machlekes. It's like every machlekes. Good. So that's basically the whole picture. And anyway, so we have hopefully convincingly shown that the Stam Mishnah that we started off with, that the first wall was a shorty, so that you should be able to look over the wall into, that's going according to Blessed Ben Yaakov, because according to the rabbis, it's not necessary. Rav Ada Bar Hava comes on the scene and he says, no. And by the way, there are two major different pshatim in this Gemara. Rashi initially goes through the first pshat, and as you can see on the Amud Beis, there's tons of Rashi that goes through it in great excruciating detail. And at the very end, Rashi says, I'm not so happy with that pshat. And in three lines, he tells you the second pshat. But we're going to go through the first pshat, and then if we have enough time, we'll go through the second pshat as well, because the first pshat is in accordance with our girsa. The second pshat of Rashi, he changes the girsa slightly, so we'll go with our girsa, means the version of the text. Says Gemara, Rav Ada Bar Hava Omar, no, you have no raya from these Mishnayasim that we just quoted, that the Mishnayas of Mesechtas Midos is Rav Lezim et Yaakov. It could be that it's Rav Yehuda. Homan Rav Yehuda. The sign of Yehuda Oymer HaMizbeach Memutza V'Oymer Be'emtza Azar. This is what you were leading up to a moment ago, Barry. That the Mizbeach was standing smack in the middle of the Azar. Why was it smack in the middle? Because he had 22 on one side, 22 on the other side. And the way Rav Yehuda is learning, the Mizbeach was in the middle of the Azar, not to the north, not to the south, but right in the middle. Ushloish Mishtaim Amis Hoyuloi, and it itself was 32 Amis square. Esther Amis Kenegit Pischa Shal Heichel, Yud Aleph Amal Tzafain, Yud Aleph Amal Doroim. Oh, so what is this all about? Nemtzim is Beach Machuvin Kenegit Heichel Vikoy Solov. Aha. Okay, so let's now take another look at all of that. We go back to our diagram. Notice in this picture, the Mizbeach is not smack in front of the Heichel, but rather it is towards
the south.
The south, right?
Mm-hmm.
South. And in fact, if you were to able to go, we're going to see in the Gemara shortly, that from north to south was exactly 135 amos. 135. Midpoint of that, halfway, half of 135, is 67 and a half. According to our picture, the Mizbeach ends here at 67 and a half, and it's totally bedorim, totally in the southern side. That was not Rabbi Yehuda. According to Rabbi Yehuda, you push it up, so that this part of the Mizbeach, this is the Kevish, of course, the wrap.
It's ancillary. So,
but the Mizbeach itself, the 32, was smack here in the front of the Heichel.
Centered against the opening.
Centered against the opening, fine. What's the point of all of this? The point of all of this is putting aside all of the malos that we talked about, the 6 and the 7 and a half and the other 6, this is a tall mizbeach. How tall was a mizbeach? Totally it was 10 amas tall. However, if you subtract the koronos are just the corner stones, the actual mizbeach was really only 9 amas tall. And if the 9 amas tall mizbeach is smack here in front of this, then I got a big problem. Because besides all of the other malos, I got this mizbeach in front. So why don't we start again from counting from the beginning? We had initially the 12 steps, which was 6 amos. Then we had the 15 steps, which is 7.5. 6 and 7.5 is 13.5. And now I got a mizbeach, which is 9. 9 tall. 9 together, the 13.5 is 22.5. Even before I start thinking about the next group of steps,
obstructed the entire foot of
my vision is totally obstructed. Totally obstructed.
Only halfway. Halfway to the south is obstructed.
I'm trying to look from here into the Heichel. Push the Mizbeach up.
If this is in the center, if the Mizbeach is not here, but if you roll it here, so the 32 is centered against this, then it's completely obstructing.
That's case.
Because you have 22 and a half, and even so the foot, if you could remove the Mizbeach, you could see it.
Good. So now, just to show you that Rabbi Yehuda is really serious about how centered it is, he says at the top over here, Eser Amos Keneged Pischa Shlecha. Remember, the Mizbeach is 32 square. So we don't have to talk about the whole square, let's just talk about from north to south, 32 Amos. So he says, Eser Amos, the middle 10 Amos were directly corresponding, parallel to the Pischa Shlecha. Those are smack in front of the 10 Amos. Remember we said that all the Psachim were 20 by 10, 20 in the height, 10 in the width, so the 10 Amos of the Mizbeach were directly in front of the 10 Amos of the Pesach of the Hechel. Now that I take off 10 from the 32, I'm left with 22. So now I have 11 Amos Litzofen to the right of the Mizbeach. You know, if you're looking from the Mizrach side, you're looking towards the Mizbeach, 11 Amos to the right, 11 Amos to the left, and therefore if you wanted to go and see the Hechel, you'd have to walk around and go another 11 Amos to the right, or 11 Amos to the left, to be able to get to the Hechel, because otherwise you're totally obstructed by this huge Mizbeach, which is standing smack in front of you. And therefore, that's the reason why, says Rav Ada Bar Ahava, you needed that low-lying doorway at the outset of the Beis HaMikdash, so you should be able to look over that doorway, and over the Mizbeach, to be able to go and see into the Hechel. And therefore, what Reb Avda Bar Ahava is saying is, you don't have a raya like you thought, that the Mishnayos and Midos goes according to Blaz Ben Yaakov, it could go according to Yehuda. And Nachum will just repeat the words, Hamani Rabbi Yehudi, the son of Yehuda, Omer, Mizbeach Mamutza Vaomer Be'em Tzazar, smack in the middle. Shloshim Mishtaim Amos Hayulay, it was 32. Eser Amos Keneged Pischa Shel Hechel, the 10 middle ones directly in front of the Pischa Shel Hechel. Yud Aleph Amma, let's up to the right. Yud Aleph Amma, let's up to the left. Nimtza Mizbeach Machuvin Keneged Hechel Vikoy Solov. Therefore, it turns out that the Mizbeach is exactly parallel to the Hechel, as well as the Kosleya Hechel, the walls, because the 11 continued on. What the Gemara doesn't tell us, but what the pictures will tell us, is that the doorway into the Ulam and Hechel was Taka 10. But once you went beyond the doors, now the Hechel was 20 wide. If it was 20 wide, that means that it was 5 on the right and 5 on the left beyond the doors. The thickness of the walls of the Hechel was 6 Amos. So therefore, the 22 that we're talking about, we've subdivided 11 and 11, the 11 corresponds to the rest of the Hechel, beyond the initial Pesach Hechel, as well as the wall. And that's, if you want, we can take another look at the picture to get us a better feel for this. Okay. Again, assuming that we were to go and place this smack in the front, then you have over here, this is the Pesach HaHechel, these are the 10 Amos over here. This is the Pesach right in front of the 48, this is the Pesach. And then you have another 5, that's this blue sticking here and blue sticking here. That is the two doorposts, if you will, for the doorway. But into the HaHechel you have 20 here altogether. From here to here is 20. So the doorway is only 10. I'll show you in your picture in a moment. And then these walls over here, this was 6 and 6. So if you're going from this wall down here to this wall up here, from here to here is exactly 32. Because this is 6, this is 20, and this is 6. So you move the Mizbeach up, so the Mizbeach is exactly parallel to the Hechel Kodesh, to the entire Kodesh of the Hechel. So now, just to go, give my friend...
Why is it being discussed to move the
Mizbeach? We're going to talk about that in a moment. So a moment. So we now move the Mizbeach up, and now the Mizbeach is directly parallel. Take this square, put it directly over here, and what it's going to be is this part, this wall, is going to end at the end of this wall. See, from here to here, there's only 10 Amos. Mm-hmm. That's the Pesach Hechel. But from this wall to here is 20 Amos, meaning that this little schmitchik over here is another 5 Amos here, and another 5 Amos here, so this is 20 altogether. The thickness of this wall here was 6 Amos. 6 plus 6. 6, 20, and 6 is 32 altogether. Now, besides this picture,
we have a good one here.
We have another picture over here.
That's helpful.
This picture is again Mizbeach, and this shows you parallel. These are the steps that are going up to the Ulam. So what do we have over here? This diagram A, fancy diagram. This is 32 altogether. See, it says 32, because the Mizbeach was 32. So therefore, the opening here was 10 altogether. See, it says 5. So this is 10. 10 is the opening. And you add another 5, the width of the Hekel itself, and then the wall, which is down here, it's 32 altogether. Okay, so it's directly parallel. So all the Gemara is now telling us is...
Keep your finger there.
Yeah, fine. We have the tissue here. So all the Gemara is telling us is Avada Bahava, you don't have a clinching raya that in fact the Mishnayos and Masechtos Midos go in accordance with Reb Lezer ben Yaakov. They can go in accordance with Reb Yehuda. Says Gemara of Yisol. Okay, so we're up to the word Kaisalov, and we put a period over there. So that was Rav Ada Bar Hava's position. No Raya Reb Lezer ben Yaakov, it could go according to Yehuda. And that's why you had the low-lying wall. Good. Now the word Yisol Kedaitach is the beginning of a refutation, of a kasha on Rav Ada Bar Hava, to show that in fact the Mishnayos are not Reb Yehuda. The language is a little bit different than you would normally find, and that's why Rashi has a later, a different pshat. But this is the way Rashi learns in the first pshat. V'isol kedaitach, midos Reb Yehuda, Reb Ada Bar Hava, you're wrong. Because the Mishnayos in Midos are Reb Lezer ben Yaakov. If you're going to go and tell me that the Mishnayos go according to Reb Yehuda, then the Mizbeach has to be Be'emtza. Like we just said, Be'emtza Azara. But Mimishkachaslei, is that correct? I'll show you that it's not correct, that the Mizbeach was not the Emtza Azar, or at least the Stam Mishnayis in Masechtos Midos do not learn the Mizbeach was the Emtza, but rather it was off-center towards the south, like the picture that we see here in the Oscar. On the big map, on the big diagram. Okay, where do we see that? So to move on, Kolu Hazora Hoisa Oirech Meya Ushmoin Vesheva Al Roichet Meya Ushloishin Vechomeish, the entire Azara. Now we're talking about the Azara, we mean not only the Azara, but also talking about the Ulam and the Heichel and the Kodesh Kadoshim, all the way to the back wall behind the Kodesh Kadoshim. If you are entering into the Ezras Yisrael from one end, and you want to go all the way to the other end behind the Kodesh Kadoshim to the final wall, it's 187 Amos altogether. And we'll see the Cheshbon in a moment. If instead you want to go from the north to the south, meaning when once you enter the Azara, you're trying to visualize from the right to the left, in other words, not going straight ahead, but as if you were going from north to south, that's going to be 135 Amos. And we'll see the Cheshbon that the Gemara is going to bring. Now, Mizrach Lamar of Meo Shmoyne B'Sheva, we don't really need that for purposes of the discussion, but that's part of the Mishnah. And therefore, it's 187. How do you get to 187? So we already spoke about that in the Azara proper, you had the 22, the Mizbeach, and the next 22. So the Mokad Rises Ragli Yisrael, where Yisraelim were allowed to stand, was 11 Amos. Why would Yisraelim be standing there? They want to see their Kabbanis being brought. They would go and put their hands on the Karban to do Smicha. And by the Karban Tomid, it says Tishmaru, and Chazal learned from that, that we have Ma'amodois of Yisraelim, Yidin that represent Klal Yisrael, that are there every single day when the Karban Tomid is brought, even though it's not a private Karban, it's the public Karban. But the public should be public spectators watching and observing Tishmaru. They have to go and see what's going on. So you have 11 Amos where Yisraelim stood. Beyond that, the Yisraelim were not supposed to go beyond those 11 Amos, but you had another 11 Amos, Mokum Drisus Raglei Kahanim, Yud Aleph Amos. You have now another 11, that's 22 altogether. According to Rabbanan, those 22 were all on the same level. According to Reb Lezer ben Yaakov, we had in the Amud Aleph, leaving the Ezras Yisrael, entering to Ezras Kahanim, you had to go up one step, so it was one step higher. That Gemara doesn't focus on that. We're just talking now about the length from the entryway into the Azara all the way past the Kodesh Kadoshim.
East to west.
East to west. So we have now 11 plus 11 is 22 altogether. Now we get to the Mizbeach, which is Shloishim Ushtayim. That's 32 by 32. So okay, so we're adding another 32. So how much do we have so far? 22 and 32. Guess it's roughly 54. Bein ulam lamizbeach. Now I threw the bein hamizbeach leulam, but the Gemara said bein ulam lamizbeach. We're leaving the mizbeach. We're going towards the ulam. How much is that? That's another esru mishnayim. Like we said before, 22. So we add 22 to the 54, and that gets us to 76. Right? Everybody agrees. So the width of the azara from doorway of Azara, Shar Niknar, till the Shar that leads into the Ulam, that is 76. Vahechel Kuf Amma. The Hechel doesn't just mean the Hechel, it means from the Ulam, into the Hechel, into the Kodesh Kedoshim. All of that Bakal Mikol Kol is 100 Amas. So 100 plus 76 is 176. V'yuda Aleph Am Achoyre Beis HaKaparis. And then you have another 11 Amas beyond that, 176, and 11 is 187.
That Kuf Am in the middle includes the thickness of all the walls. That's the,
everything.
That's the external footprint of the Hechel.
Correct.
Okay.
It includes the Ulam, it includes the Kodesh Kedoshim,
and the walls as well. So the inside space of the Kodesh, the Kodesh Kedoshim was significantly less.
Yes. Okay. So now getting to again this beautiful picture. Here you don't even have to. Let's cover it to the Zach. So we're coming in from here, from Shar Niknar, till here, till the Pesach Ulam. This is altogether 76, right? From here.
11.
Till here is 76. Mm-hmm. Good. Now from here, from this blue wall, we're ending into the Ulam. This is the Ulam here. This is the Heichol. This is the Kodesh Kedoshim. Notice the two Amatraxim, the two curtains between the Heichel, the Kodesh, and the Kodesh Kedoshim. Beyond the Kodesh Kedoshim, there was this wall. Then there were Toim. Toim means like little chambers. And after that, we get another wall. All of that from blue to blue, from beginning to end, that's 100 Amos. This, where it says 59, is appropriately labeled the Yud Aleph Amma, the 11 Amos between the Beis HaKaparis. Beis HaKaparis is just another way of referring to the Kodesh Kedoshim. And the final wall, that was 11, so therefore from here till here is 187 altogether. Everybody's happy? Any questions? Good? Aleinu. That's 187. Now we're going to go from here to here. We're going to start from the south, going northward. South, northward. The first thing that we really should be speaking about is the space between the wall and the Kedesh. But as you'll see in the discussion of the Gemara, we're purposely leaving that out. And we're going to get back to that. So we're just going to start from the Kevish Ulamala. From the beginning of the Kevish until the end of the Mizbeach was altogether 62. The Kevish itself on its own was 32. The Mizbeach on its own was 32. 32 and 32 add up to 64. The obvious question is, why is this only 62? And the answer is because there was an overlap between the Kevish and the Mizbeach. Meaning that the last two Amos of the Mizbeach were underneath the
final two Amos
of the Kevish. So therefore, from the beginning of the Kevish until the end, this is going to be 62 altogether. And then from here till here, we're going to add up a whole bunch of many things. Now, just before we enter into the Gemara, why don't we just take a quick look. After you get to the Tzofen part of the Mizbeach, there was space, where people were able to walk and come and go and say Tehillim and all the rest, until after that you get these little upside down things. Looks like upside down U's. They are really rings which are attached to the floor, and you can open up the ring, and the purpose of those rings is to take an animal that was going to be geschachten, slaughtered. You take the animal, put it on its back, put the ring around its neck, and then it will be easy for the shochet to go and shecht the animal. There are 24 of these upside down rings.
From the ceiling of those things?
Afterwards, when you inflate it.
So then there are 24 of these. Reason why 24 is each mishmar, meaning each one of the mishmaras of the kahuna, use their own ring for purposes of shechting the kabbana. So it was 24. Now, obviously.
So the shechting was done here?
Correct.
Yes.
I'm sorry, what was done? That's
where the limbs were burnt. Mm-hmm. After it was slaughtered,
so
and the blood put on the mizbeach, then they went all the way around, went up the ramp, and they put the evarim, the limbs, and the pedarim, and the fats, and all that good stuff, and they put it on top there.
I just had this perception that, my questions are answered. how did you get the animal down from here to here?
You saw it on the floor in the mizbeach.
Good. So this is, by the way, this is for the Kodesh Kodeshim that had to be done suffer on the north side. The Kodeshim Kalim you can do on other sides. Yeah, but this had to be done here. Okay, Mishkachkeva. So these are the rings which were used for Shchitza, and you have 33, and the 33 is going to tell you that these were the rings. These are the Tabois, which were on the floor, and then you look at 33, and your Engelish. Slaughtering rings. Is that what they call slaughtering rings?
Yeah.
Good. So now we go from the slaughtering rings, and we go a little bit higher up. And these are little tables. you could turn the tables, right? If you turn it the other direction, you're just turning the tables on them. Okay, so that's number 34. What does it say, 34, and down below?
Rinsing tables.
The tables?
Rinsing tables.
Why are they called rinsing tables?
Blood.
No, what they would do is after the shechita, then they would go and cut them open, and they would take out the kerub, the kerbayim, the krov, the kerbayim, meaning all the innards and all the wonderful fats and everything, took it out, they rinsed it all off. They had to rinse it from all of the excrement and other things which had a bad scent, a bad odor, and they rinsed it all off, because afterwards, in the carbon oil, they put the whole thing on the mizbeach, but they didn't want any part of it to have a bad stench, so therefore they rinsed it all off on these tables. Okay? Now, from the point of the shechita and the rinsing, you have to go and open up the animal to take out all those innards. How did you do that? Here, when you get to number 35, these are more called nanosim.
Dwarf pillars.
Dwarf pillars! That's why they call them nanos. Dwarf pillars means they're not pillars that go from here up 50 amas tall. They were only 5 amas tall, or 3 amas tall, whatever. They were relatively short. You took the animal that was ready geschachten, you now turned it upside down, and there were hooks on top of these dwarf pillars, and you hung up the animal upside down by the hoof, by the
feet, hind legs.
The hind legs of the animal. Okay? And now the animal was in front of you, and now professional cutter openers, people that would strip the hide of the animal from the animal, they would go and take the hide off. At the same time, they would go and cut it down the middle, and they'd take out all the innards, and the innards were put on those tables, and they were rinsed off. Good? So therefore you have, these are tabois, these are the rings, these are the shulchanos, which are the tables, these are the nasim, which are the dwarf-like pillars, and from there you had further distance until you got to the wall. Now exactly how much space was there? So the Mishnayis are going to tell us, as we're going to see right now in the Gemara. Zog the Gemara, we previously went through the 187, and now we're going from south to north, the 135. Says the Gemara, min adorim letzofay me'u ushloishim b'chamesh. And the first word on the line is Hakevesh. Right? Hakevesh is the ramp and the mizbeach together, as we said before, shishim u'shtayim, those are 62. Min a mizbeach with a tavois, the space between the mizbeach until you got to those slaughtering rings, that was another 8 amos. How much is 62 plus 8? 62 and 8 is?
70.
62 and 8 is 70, right? 70. The mokem ha-tabois, the actual place of the tabois themselves, where the tabois were, those were esrim v'arba, there were 24 of them. Min ha-tabois l'shulchanos. Okay, so we have to now talk about the mokem tabois, which is 24. We had before 62 plus 8 was 70. We add now to 70, 24, we get to 94. Right, so for 94, min ha-tabois l'shulchanos was arba. Now it's no longer 94, now it's 98. Everybody's in agreement? Is everybody with me? Yeah? Start again. We had 62. We added to it 8. We add 8 to 62. It comes to roughly 70. 70 we added now 24. Gets us to 94. From 94 we're now going to add Retabois l'shulchanos arba. That gets another 4. Is 98. Min ha-shulchanos l'nanosim is arba. Is another 4. Is 102. Min ha-nosim l'koisel. Koisel ha-zorah. Ches amis. Now we have altogether 110. Now we left out, however,
the Mokam HaNanasim.
The Mokam HaNanasim, meaning we only spoke about the, from the space, from the Shulchanis to the Nanasim, and from the Nanasim to the Koisel. But we didn't speak about the actual space where the Nanasim were standing in the Azara, because they also obviously took up space. So we left that out. By the way, parenthetically, we also left out how much space the Shulchanis occupied. However, Rashi says that doesn't really bother us because we have psukim in Yecheskel that tells us that that was 4 amas. So we're not going to deal with that. We're only going to deal with the mokum nanosim, where I don't know how much that is, and I also don't know how much there was initially between the wall and the kevesh. So therefore, those are the two wild cards, if you will. Those are the variables, those are the unknowns. And that's what the Mishnah itself tells us. Ramoisa, remember we started off, there's 135 altogether. We've only added up 110, so there's 25 for grabs. That was Ben HaKevesh v'Lakoisel. Umokim HaNanosim, those two, if you split it up somehow between the Kevesh and the Koisel, and the Kevesh and the Koisel, that space, and the Mokim HaNanosim, you'll get to the extra 25. So if you want, Isol Kedaitach, Midos Rabbi Yudahi, Mizbeach the emtza azara mi mishkaches lei haruba de mizbeach bedaraim koi. You won't find that the mizbeach is smack in the middle. You'll find that the mizbeach is towards the dorim side. Elav shmamina reblezim en Yaakov hishmamina. Okay, so now how are we going to get to that cheshbon?
Yeah.
So the cheshbon is the following. Remember that we have 62, the entire mizbeach from end to end, including the kevesh. 62. Good. We're going to go and split up the 25 extra that we had. With 135 minus 110 is 25. We're going to assume, for our purposes, that you take that 25 and just split it down the middle. If you split down the middle 25, you get 12 and a half. Does everybody agree you get 12 and a half? Yes. 12 and a half together with... So why are we splitting it down the middle? We're going to assume, for our purposes at this time, that the Nanosim occupied 12 and a half Amis, and the Kevish Lamizbeach was 12 and a half Amis.
Kevish,
Kevish and the Koisel. And the Koisel. I'm sorry. Between the Kevish and the Koisel was another 12 and a half. So if we take the 12 and a half and we add it to the 62, it gets us to 74 and a half. Right? Everybody agree? 62 and 12 and a half is 74 and a half. Now the midway point in the Azara is at the 67 and a half line. Why? Because the Azara is 135 from north to south. If we split 135 down the middle, we get to 67 and a half. And therefore, if we're starting off the counting from the wall to the Kevish, and we're throwing in 12 and a half, and then we're adding another 62, which is the Kevis and the Mizbeach themselves, that's 74 and a half. What's going to happen is that the Kevish and the Mizbeach are going to, at the 67 and a half line, which is halfway down the Azara, you're going to only have another 5 of the Mizbeach protruding into northward the second half, beyond the midpoint. Because since this is 72 and a half, and this is 67 and a half, then you're only going to have 5 Amis jutting out from the Mizbeach into the north. So if I'm going directly from the Pesach of the Ezras Yisrael, I'm trying to go straight towards the Heichel, and I'm walking down the midline as I'm walking in, I'll only have 5 on the right, which is jutting out from the Mizbeach, and to the left, I'm going to have another 27 of the Mizbeach, plus the additional 30 of the ramp, and then I'll have a little space, another 12 and a half Amis between the Kevish and the wall. It is obvious, therefore, that the Mizbeach is not smack in the middle. The Mizbeach is 75% into the Dorim, into the Dorim side. That's how Rashi learns first pshat. You could also learn that we're going to take the 25 and divide it up a little bit differently.
Yes.
And how would it be a little bit differently? That you're only going to have 5 and a half between the Kevish and the Kosel, and you leave the rest for the space for the Nanosim and for the Shulchanos, as we spoke about before. And therefore, if you're only going to leave a space of 5 and a half between the Kevish and the Kosel, and you're going to add the other 62 of the Mizbeach and the Kevish, adding that together gets you to the 67 and a half. 67 and a half means that the Mizbeach would in fact end flush at the middle line between the in the Azara, where the Azara splits between north and south, the Mizbeach would end right over there. And that's the reason why you have the picture in the art scroll where the Mizbeach ends halfway, because it's halfway in the picture, in the entrance way to the Azara, to the Ulam and the Heichel, because it's in fact halfway.
Yeah.
If you put 5 and a half over here, add another 62, 67 and a half, exactly halfway. That's this picture.
The outer walls are not included in this at all. It's only the interior space.
For the 135, correct.
Yeah, right.
That's 100% correct. Even over here in the 187, this 11 ends
right
at the wall. Oh, it doesn't include.
So
it's never...
Inner.
It's usable. It's the toich, it's the pneumius. It's right. Not the chitzonius. Okay. Now, this is all beautiful, because now what the Gemara has proven is that the Mishnah cannot go in accordance with Rabbi Yehuda, because we started off, that Rabbi Yehuda said at the very top that the Mizbeach was smack in the middle. Right. 11 to the right, and 11 to the left. No, I see that in fact the Mizbeach was not right in front. The Mizbeach either ended at the 67 and a half line, or it went over another 5 amas, but not beyond that. And therefore, that's why the Gemara concludes, the Isoka Daitach, last 3 lines, Midas is Rabbi Yehudi, Mizbeach be'emta azorami mishkachasle, haruba de Mizbeach be'doram koi. Anyway, you slice it, roivin of Mizbeach, 62, is somewhere down below, because otherwise the other cheshbonos don't work out. And therefore, we have a crystal clear raya, not like Rav Ada Bar Ahava, that tried to say that these Mishnayos, Stam Mishnah of Midos is Rav Yehudi. Rather, it's Rav Lezer ben Yaakov. That's how Rashi learns the very lengthy Rashi that goes through the back of the Amud Beis, as well as the beginning of the Amud Aleph. That's how he learns Pshat in the Gemara. Rashi, however, does bring a second pshat, and that second pshat is not that we are refuting Rav Ada Bar Ahava, but rather Rav Ada Bar Ahava is telling us, I mean, how did we get into this sugya in the first place? We got into the sugya because yesterday we asked the stira between the Mishnayis and Masechtas Tomid and the Mishnayis and Masechtas Midois. What was the stira? The location of the Lishkas Hatloin. Was the Lishkas Hatloin the northwestern or the southwestern Lishka chamber next to the Beis HaMoiket? There were 4 surrounding it from all 4 sides, whether it's the northwestern or the southwestern. So the Gemara said yesterday that it's not a stira, it's a machlaikis. And the Mishnah Masechtas Tomid is one Mandi Amar, and the Mishnah in Masechtas Midos, that was Reb Lezer ben Yaakov. We already brought one raya yesterday that the Mishnah is Reb Lezer ben Yaakov, and then we brought another raya today that it's Reb Lezer ben Yaakov. What Rav Ada Bar Ahava is saying is, of course you're right. All those Mishnayos and Midos that were Rebbe Lezer ben Yaakov. Rav Ada Bar Ahava is saying that the Mishnah Masechtas Tomid is Rebbe Yehuda. Because Rebbe Yehuda cannot be Masechtas Midos because his Mizbeach is smack in the middle, while the Mizbeach in Masechtas Midos is all kilter, it's down to the south.
Entirely in the south.
Exactly. And since we know that Rabbi Yehuda is Arda Rav Lezer ben Yaakov, therefore we will assume that the Mishnah is in Masechtas Talmud is Rabbi Yehuda and not anybody else. And therefore, what Rav Ada Bar Ahava was saying in the Amud Aleph was not that the Mishnah is in Midos is Rabbi Yehuda. He's not arguing. I agree that's Rav Lezer ben Yaakov. All
it
I'm telling you is.
It has to be.
That's what we conclude in the Gemara.
Because the Mizbeach B'Dorim Koi.
Good. So what Rav Ada Bar Ahava is saying is, those Mishnayos are Blazim and Yaakov, I grant that to you. But I'm telling you, the Mishnah Masechtas is Talmud, that's Rabbi Yehuda. What's wrong with that pshat? It's a very nice pshat. The problem is because at the top of the Omer it says, Elav Shmamin Rav Lezer ben Yaakov. And therefore Rashi says, according to our Girsa, this new pshat, we have to change it. Elav Shmamin, that the Mishnayos and Masechtas Talmud is Rabbi Yehuda Shmamin. Because Rabbi Yehuda cannot be the Mandi Omer of Masechtas Midos, because they are the Mizbeach and the Dorim. And Rabbi Yehuda holds that it's in the middle. Muznach Zong, that Talmud is Rabbi Yehuda, and Midos is Rabbi Yaakov, and Hakalam Mekoyim Yom B'Sholim. So that's the end of the sugya today.
So it should have said, according to Rashi, Tiyufta Rav Ada Bar Ahava Tiyufta, instead of saying Shema Amina, is that kind of what Rashi is suggesting?
What Rashi is saying, according to the first pshat, it's good that the Gemara finishes off Shema Amina Rav Lezer ben Yaakov, because right. We've proven that it's not Rabbi Yehuda, but it's consistent that it's Rav Lezer ben Yaakov.
Right.
According to the second pshat, we were not challenging Rav Lezer ben Yaakov's authorship of Midos. Or Rav Ada Bar Ahava is trying to tell us who is the author of Masechtas Tomid. And therefore, the Gemara should say at the end is, Elav Shmamina, that Masechtas Tomid is Rav Yehudihi Shmamina.
Okay.
If you look at the last 3-4 lines of this lengthy Rashi,
yes,
in the middle of the Amid, look at the 4th wide line of the Rashi. There's another way of learning it. Rav Ada Bar Ahava Omar Hamani Amasisin de Tomid. We asked the steer of Masis and the Tomid on Masechtas Midos. The Pligias Tomid of Midos, that was yesterday's Elishkas of Kloim. That's Rabbi Yehudi. The Shaminan laid the Paligas Tomid of Midos. Because I find not only Masechtas Tomid argues with Midos, but Rabbi Yehuda argues with Midos. Why? The sign Rabbi Yehuda, I'm in Mizbeach Mamutza, was smack in the middle. We saw Gadaitach Midos Rabbi Yehuda, he, Mimishkachas La, Vatanan. We found that the Mizbeach is all the way to the Dorim, not in the middle. Alma Rubia the Mizbeach Bedorim Kai, Roy the Mizbeach in the Dorim. Shmamina, Shmamina, period. That wasn't on the table. That wasn't the shayla. V'achi perusha shma minam midos lav Rabbi Yehuda. Midos is not Rabbi Yehuda, but rather it's Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, and Tamid is Rabbi Yehuda. That's what the Mishnah. That's how the Gemara should have concluded. And Mishnah Rabbi said we're going to continue tomorrow, depending on how lengthy the discussion of the Amud Aleph and the Amud Beis. We are going to then finish off tomorrow's blot tomorrow morning, if it's a long learning, and then we're going to learn Thursday's blot tomorrow night at the Kollel at 8 o'clock. If, however, we're able to get through tomorrow's blot relatively quickly, because the Amud Aleph is fairly quick and the Amud Beis seems also to be fairly quick, we may be able to learn almost 2 blot tomorrow. We'll have to see the timing, how it works out. So in the meantime, everybody have a wonderful day. Brachah v'hatzlacha and zayin.